From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The fifth message in the series is entitled, The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment, and it deals with Noah. And we'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, We Receive as We Give. The text is Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It is not meet that the man who will not forgive should be forgiven, nor shall he who will not give to the poor have his own wants relieved. God will measure to us with our own bushels, and those who have been hard masters and hard creditors will find that the Lord will deal hardly with them. He shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. This day let us try to give and to forgive. Let us mind the two bears, bear and forbear. Let us be kind and gentle and tender. Let us not put harsh constructions upon men's conduct, nor drive hard bargains, nor pick foolish quarrels, nor be difficult to please. Surely we wish to be blessed, and we also want to obtain mercy. Let us be merciful, that we may have mercy. Let us fulfill the condition, that we may earn the beatitude. Is it not a pleasant duty to be kind? Is there not much more sweetness in it than in being angry and ungenerous? Why, there is a blessedness in the thing itself. Moreover, the obtaining of mercy is a rich reward. What but sovereign grace could suggest such a promise as this? We are merciful to our fellow mortal in pence, and the Lord forgives us all that debt.
Amazing love.
Father's throne above, so free.
been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame, the 11th chapter of Hebrews memorializes many Old Testament characters whose lives and actions epitomize the true nature of faith in God. The third of these individuals is Noah, the Ark Builder. The human race of that time had corrupted itself so thoroughly that God decided to destroy all flesh. Yet the Bible testifies that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God commanded him to build an ark to save his family and representative animals from the approaching flood, and Noah obeyed, never having seen a drop of rain. His faith displayed both belief in God's judgment and in God's salvation. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of a message called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment.
God's message for this day in which we live is very much the same as it was in the days of Noah. It is a message that the end of all flesh is approaching. It's a message of judgment. It's a message that this entire planet is hurtling towards its date with eternal destiny and its eternal doom. It is a message that the righteous and holy God is stirred in anger against the viciousness of his creatures. The end of all flesh is come, fast approaching. Just a little period of time, however long it may appear to man, just a little period of time before, not a flood this time, but fiery wrath and indignation is visited by God upon the people of this earth. That's the message. And with that message, still one ray of gospel light and hope, a greater ark than that which Noah built. The ark of God's provision, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom every object of the grace of God will find eternal rest, perfect safety and security from the judgment of God, being justified, accepted as righteous in the sight of God by the grace of God through the merits of Christ and received by simple faith alone. Now that's God's message. There is no other. So thus we find that Noah is a very pertinent example for us today, one that we should ponder carefully, of the faith that stands secure in the day of judgment. There are very simple statements here that I want to outline for you. We'll reduce them to three. When you look at Noah, you'll find what faith really is. Now, we all have got to be interested. Have I that faith that will stand the test? I know that there are people who presume that they'll be all right. They have a very low view, normally, of the holiness of God. They don't take much deep thought of the terror of the Lord. The awful reality of a burning hell doesn't really grip their heart. And they just lay hold of a very light kind of religion. And they have, they say, a faith. They believe the Bible. They believe in such a way that the Puritans used to term an historical faith. They believe the facts of the Bible. They don't seem to have very much effect upon their lives. They don't really mold their character. They don't give them any great love for God or his Christ or the things of God. But they glibly presume that they are ready for eternity. And I tell you, a faith that is a mere historical faith, though, mind you, that's a contradiction in terms, for it's not real faith at all. But for want of a better, a faith that is a mere historical faith, a faith that is in facts, not in the person, a faith that does not have an effect upon the heart, a faith that does not have as its obverse side the reality of repentance, that is a faith that is not worthy of the name, and it is a faith that will not stand in the judgment. On the other hand, there are people who have, by the grace of God, in simplicity and sincerity, laid hold of Christ for salvation. Just as Noah entered into the ark, they have by faith entered into Christ. And yet they are weak in faith. And the old devil comes and he torments them with doubt. And they begin to wonder, have I such a faith as will stand the test of the judgment, stand secure in the judgment? I think as we look at Noah, we'll find God's description of the faith that does stand secure. But let me tell you, and I think it's very important that we always keep this in mind. We are told by faith Noah did these things. We're not told Noah never had a doubt. I'm not saying he had, but we're not told he didn't have a doubt. Spurgeon once said, I doubt the man that never doubted. I doubt the reality of his experience, doubt the reality of his struggles with the devil, doubt the reality of the deepening of the work that all hell will oppose in the life of any believer. I can understand Spurgeon saying, I doubt the man that never doubted. But we're not told Noah didn't doubt. We're not told about the strength of his faith, merely the fact of his faith. And I believe the reason for that in Noah's case, and indeed in all these cases, is that Noah was not saved because of the strength or the amount of his faith. Noah was saved because of the strength of the ark that God had provided. By faith we enter into Christ, but we're not saved by the amount of faith we exercise. We're saved by the one in whom our faith reposes. We're saved by Christ. Faith is but the instrument that lets you walk in. Get your eyes on Christ for the full assurance of faith. But what is that faith? However you would understand its strength and its amount, what is this faith that stands secure, that enters savingly into the ark? There are three statements I'll make about this faith, the simplest possible that you can imagine. And I deliberately do it this way because I think that this is something that perturbs a lot of Christians. Number one, you look at Noah here and you'll find that faith believes the gospel of God. That's the first thing. The word of God, as I pointed out to Noah, was in two parts. It was a word of warning, coming judgment, and it was a word of promise, salvation through the ark. And Noah believed the word of God, and he believed both parts of the message. Noah believed the message of God's righteous indignation against sin. Noah believed the message of impending hell. Noah took the judgment of God very, very seriously. He believed what the word of God to him had to say in that subject. And then equally, he believed the word of God when it held out to him the promise of redemption and salvation through the ark. Now here then is faith believing the gospel of God. First of all, it has a confidence in its truth. And notice again that it's confident in one part of the message as in the other. Saving faith is a faith that does not make light of sin. Saving faith is a faith that truly recognizes and grasps the reality, the heinousness of sin, and the awful truth of the judgment of God against sin. Any man who makes light of his sin, any man who shrugs off his sin, any man who simply says, I'm not as bad as others, God will help me because I'm doing the best I can, that man has never begun to enter in to the reality of saving faith. His is a belief that will leave him in the awful darkness of a lost eternity unless there's a mighty change. Saving faith, first and foremost, believes what God says to it about sin. It feels itself a candidate for judgment. The faith in a man will convince that man that he is a fit person to go to hell. Seems strange that faith for salvation should first of all make you believe that you should go to hell. But that's always the case. And I want you to keep this in mind. We're living in a day of what many people have called easy believism. Others have called cheap grace. You can use whatever term you like, but it is the preaching of another gospel. It's the preaching of a decisionism that makes no impact upon the soul. It's the preaching of salvation for sinners who have never felt their sin. It's a preaching of heaven for people who have never trembled over hell. And I want to tell you, the very first thing that faith will do in a man is convince that man of the reality of his sin, of the terrible reality of God's judgment, and of his own ill desert. Faith will make you feel, I should go to hell. It's interesting in the history of great preaching and great revivals that under the ministry of the Word and such power, people were brought under such conviction of sin that even when they were crying for mercy, they cried, O God, thou art righteous, and if thou wilt damn this ill-deserving soul in hell, from hell's depths I will still confess, thou art righteous. That, my friend, is the very first thing that marks a faith that will stand secure. It believes the gospel in what it says about sin. And it also, of course, then believes the gospel in what it says about salvation. It has confidence in its truth, not only to convict it of its sin, but to convince of the reality of God's provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you merely believed in the reality of your sin and of the judgment of God, that would not be faith. Faith will do that, but faith never stops there. Faith never stops while it leaves the soul in despair. Faith will always conduct you to Christ. Faith will always lay hold of the Savior. It will get under the ark. It will get under the pitch. I pointed out when I was preaching on Noah some time back that the pitch is, as far as the word goes, very closely identified with the Hebrew word atonement. And certainly you get under the atonement. Faith will never leave a man until he flees to Christ, gets under the blood, and pleads only the atoning merits of his once for all sacrifice. It has confidence in Christ. It believes the gospel. It has confidence in the truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.